At this time, I'm going to invite you to go ahead and, if you have your Bible, to open to John chapter 20. Okay. And as you're doing that, I'm going to invite my assistant, Mr. Blake, to come up here. All right, give my right hand. So he can be my right-hand man. All right. So, Mr. Blake, I got some eggs here. And I'm going to hand you an egg. And your job is to open that egg up and hold it up, what's inside it, so everybody can see it and tell what it is, okay? Can you do that? Now, you got to be loud and proud and do this, okay? This ain't the time to be shy. Don't be a shy guy today, okay? I don't need that. All right. Make sure they can see it really good. Now, come on, Blake. Get out the egg now. Pull out the egg. There you go. Now hold that up really high. What is that? I picked the wrong kid. Is that a sheep? What is that? What is that, Anna? Okay. All right, that's a donkey, okay? All right, after this is over, we're all going to the little field trip to the petting. When's that petting zoo back there, Miss Tina? Deborah, bring them to the petting zoo, VBS, and teach your kids the difference between sheep, lambs, and donkeys. My God. Oh, Lord. We still got 11 more of these eggs to go, too. Okay. Well, he's got them their attention. I'll give you the credit for that. All right. So the reason we have a donkey is last Sunday was Palm Sunday. And so on Palm Sunday, Jesus rode a donkey into Jerusalem, fulfilling the prophecy of Zechariah. And Zechariah said, look, daughters of Jerusalem, behold, your king comes humbly riding on the donkey. So Jesus came riding humbly on the donkey, and the people went out rejoicing, waving palm branches, saying, Hosanna to the king. All right. You made me nervous now. All right, now pull that out. Hold it up. Everybody can see it. Okay. What is that? It's coins. Yeah, those are silver coins. That represents how Judas Iscariot, one of the disciples, went to the high priest and said, how much would you give me if I turned this Jesus into you? And so for 30 pieces of silver, he betrayed his friend, Jesus. All right. All right, hold those up. Okay, what are those? Yeah, they're cups, glasses. So that represents the Lord's Supper. So on Thursday night, Jesus took the bread and broke it and said, this is my body, which is broken for you. And he took the cup and said, this is my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. That's why every second, sometimes third Sunday, we have the Lord's Supper. But we remember what Jesus did for this. We do this in remembrance of him. Okay, hands. What are those hands doing? Praying. Good. So that represents Thursday night. Jesus leaves the garden, the upper room, and goes to the Garden of Gethsemane. And there he prays to his Heavenly Father. Father, if any way to take this cup from me, so be it. But if not so, your will, not mine, be done. And so Jesus was in the garden praying. Judas Iscariot brought in the high priest and the soldiers. He's arrested. He's brought before the Sanhedrin, the Jewish council, and is condemned. And then on Friday morning, they bring him before Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor. Right, hold that up. What is that? Okay, that's a whip. So Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him. What's that? And then the soldiers came with a crown of thorns upon Jesus' head. And they mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." And Pilate went forth again and said to the people, "I bring him forth to you that you may know that I find no fault in him." And so Pontius Pilate will condemn Jesus to death. What's it made out of? Okay. Nails. All right, hold it up. And then the soldiers took nails and they nailed Jesus to a cross. Dice. Yeah, hold it up. And while he was on the cross, the soldiers gambled with dice. The one thing he owned, his robe. And at the end, Jesus said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. It is finished." And he died. Spirit. Hold that up. And then one of the soldiers, just to make sure he really was dead, took a spear and pierced his side. And from his side flowed blood and water. Cloth, yeah, hold up. Okay. After Jesus died, Joseph of Arimathea asked Pilate for the body of Jesus. And he and Nicodemus took the body of Jesus. They anointed it with spices and wrapped it in a burial cloth. Good. And they placed Jesus in his family tomb, and they rolled a stone across the entrance of the tomb. The next morning on Saturday, the high priest asked Pilate to seal the tomb. And Pilate said, "You have your own guards." And so they sealed the stone and placed guards around the tomb. Okay, now this one is super fragile, okay? Be very careful with it. Don't break it. Nothing. What's that? How did that for? Okay. All right. That last egg was empty. All right. Thank you, Mr. Blake. All right. All right. Thank you, Blake. And with that empty egg, we're going to pick up the story from John chapter 20, verse 1. Hear now these words. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw the stone being removed from the tomb. So she ran with Simon Peter and their disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Then Peter and their disciple set out and went towards the tomb. The two were running together, but their disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, went into the tomb. He saw linen wrappings lying there, and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in the place by itself. Then their disciple who reached the tomb first also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture that Jesus must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white, sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head, one at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you had carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabbi," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her. My friends, it's the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. All right. So this morning we celebrate our risen Lord and Savior. Now, we have an unfair advantage because we know how the story ends. But notice at the very beginning of this chapter that Mary Magdalene, and as the other gospel says, the other women, they did not go to this tomb expecting a resurrection. Indeed, these are the women who were at the foot of the cross, seeing Jesus suffer and die. And they saw how Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus took the body of Jesus and very quickly did the funeral arrangements and buried him right before sunset. And it was on their hearts that Jesus needed a more proper burial. That burial was very hasty, very rushed. The only problem was the next day was Saturday, which in Jewish culture means nothing is open. Everything's closed. That'd be like in our culture trying to go to Chick-fil-A on a Sunday or the Hobby Lobby. We couldn't do it. So they made their minds that first thing Sunday morning, they will go to the tomb and ensure that Jesus had a proper burial. So that morning they come to the tomb. And John's gospel tells us this from the point of view of Mary Magdalene. Now, John's gospel, when you first read it, it starts off with the epic, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And where have we heard that before? Book of Genesis. "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." Yeah. And that first chapter talks about how Jesus was the light of all men. Now, pay close attention to this because we're seeing a play on this. Remember how in Genesis' story, the first man, Adam, is created on a Friday, right? Sixth day. And God saw it was very good. On Good Friday, there is Jesus, standing in front of Pontius Pilate, the world authority. And several times, Pontius Pilate says, "I find no fault in him." See, this is the second Adam, the perfect Adam. And then Saturday, of course, the Lord rested in creation. And on this Saturday, Jesus' body is resting in the tomb. And now it's Sunday, the first day of the week, when it was still dark. Okay. And what was that famous piece of creation that happened on the first day of the week? "Then God said, let there be light." And so here's Mary Magdalene. She comes to the tomb. And she saw the stone been removed from the tomb. So she runs and she gets Simon Peter and another disciple whom Jesus loved. And depending on whose commentary you read, some will say this is John. Others, more recent, will now say, well, actually we think this is Lazarus. Because Lazarus, if you read the gospel, talks about how Jesus loved Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. Okay? And I kind of lean to that theory, and I'll show you why here in a second. So she goes to them and says, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we, plural, do not know where they laid him." All right, so from Mary's point of view, she's thinking somebody has broken into the tomb of Jesus and stolen his body, moved it. Okay? That'd be like, for example, for us, you go down to the morgue, and you can't find your loved one, and you're thinking somebody stole the body. So Peter and his other disciple, they take off running. Their disciple outruns Peter, and he bends in and sees the linen cloth lying there. And then Simon Peter comes in, runs into the tomb. and talks about he saw the linen cloths lying there, and the cloth had been around Jesus' head was in a different place. And then the other disciple who reached the tomb first also went in, and he saw and believed. And that makes me warm up and know Lazarus, because Lazarus, if he was there, he had to be thinking, now wait a minute. When I was in the tomb and Jesus raised me, I came out wearing my burial cloth. I think something happened to Jesus, because Jesus told my sisters that he was the resurrection and the life. And those who believe in Jesus, though they may die, yet shall they live. And so they went home. But Mary, meanwhile, is outside the tomb weeping. And as she wept, she looked in the tomb and saw two angels in white, sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at his head and one at his feet. If you go back to the book of Genesis, talking about the Ark of the Covenant, okay, I know everybody knows that from the Indiana Jones movie, but the Ark of the Covenant was a religious artifact, and you had an angel on both sides of the Ark of the Covenant looking at each other. And that was where God's presence is at. And so you see the symbolism of where here are two angels looking at each other, showing that God's presence. And then one says to her, or they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" That's good alliteration. "Woman, why are you weeping? Why are you weeping?" And she said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." So again, from her point of view, somebody has come in, grabbed the body of Jesus, and moved it. Where is Jesus' body at? Now, that's what she wants to know. And then she hears another voice. "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Okay. Now, you know, several times I mentioned how in John's Gospel, Jesus asked what I call dumb questions. And I said, they're not dumb to him. He knows the answer. But he's asking these questions to get the other person to think about it. Now, he asks, "No, woman, why are you weeping?" And he adds, "Whom are you looking for?" And Mary, through the tears and such, she looks at him and thinks he's the gardener. No. Now, remember, I said a little while ago that Jesus was the new Adam. What was Adam's job? His job was to tend and keep the Garden of Eden, remember? So here you see Jesus is fulfilling this symbolism of Adam, of being the new Adam. And so, thinking him to be the gardener, she says, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." So from her point of view, she's saying, this is the gardener, and he got the body out of the tomb, and give the body to me, and I'll take care of him. And then Jesus says to her, "Mary." And it's when he called her by name, she realized she was speaking to the risen Lord. You know, names are important. Now, when I was born, my parents named me Timothy Allen Womack. And I think I've heard that name twice. Once at high school graduation, and once at college graduation. But growing up, my name was Timmy. Now, every once in a while, I heard Timmy Allen. Now, if I heard that blood, that meant I need to hide, okay? And then around 5th, 6th, 7th grade, getting the upper in the elementary school, I started going by Tim, right? I guess more civic, Timmy's a little more elementary than like Tim. And so that's why I carried all through 6th, 7th, 8th grade to Calhoun at least. And then I went to high school, like I said, where you did, at Minn County High School, Johnny Yeager. Yeah, I see some heads nodding back here. And then Tennessee Wesleyan, I was Tim. And then I remember in the May of 2005, I was at the Jiffy off Highway 11 there, not too far from Gondolier in Athens. I was filling my car and I heard somebody say, "Mr. Womack, Mr. Womack, Mr. Womack." And then all once hit me, "Oh, that's me." It was one of my kids from Rice Elementary where I'd done my student teaching gap this a few months back in January and February. And ironically, it was the class clown. He recognized me. He's like, "Mr. Womack, Mr. Womack." And I didn't realize it, but my name is about to get changed again. Because when I became a teacher, I became Mr. Womack. Or sometimes the cool kids say, "Hey, Womack," you know. And then, of course, him pastor. Now I get called pastor or preacher. And then in 2020, little Josiah comes along, and they're in the whole COVID mess, and he's born, and he's adopted by my sister and brother-in-law. And she was teaching him to say Uncle Tim. And so he hasn't quite got that T sound down, so he would say M. But then one day, he heard his daddy refer to me as Timmy, right? Because my sister calls me Timmy, right? And after that, it was all over. And then it became Emmy. So every time I show up in Cookville, like, "Emmy, outside." No. "Emmy, get set, go." No. And so I had different names. And those names represent different seasons in my life and different relationships in my life. When Jesus said, "Mary," when she heard him call her name, what that song goes about how the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses. She knew it was Jesus. Now, you know, the day's going to come when the Lord Jesus is going to call us all by name. Either in the moment of death or at his second coming. And I hope when he calls us by name that we'll recognize his voice and respond. And when she turned, she said to him, "Rabbi." And she went and gave him a big old bear hug. And Jesus said to her, "Go home to me, because I have not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and to your Father, to my God and your God." And so Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. Have you ever seen the miniseries Jesus of Nazareth? There's this great scene where they dramatize where she comes in. She tells them what happens. And they all just kind of fold their arms and look at each other. Because they didn't believe it. Now, sometimes you can meet the risen Lord and folks don't believe you. But the fact of the matter is, it really doesn't matter if they believe you or not. When you met Jesus, when you've heard him call your name, you know he's alive and well. And so we come together at Easter, you know, and it's fun to look for the eggs and eat the chocolates and have fun. But in the process, let's not forget what got the whole thing started. It all started when on the Good Friday, Jesus of Nazareth died, was buried very hastily. On Saturday, he rested in the tomb, and then on Sunday morning, he rose again. And that should give us all hope. But the fact is, all of us, one day, will have our Good Friday moment. We'll all have that moment of Gethsemane where we're asking God for a miracle and then say, "But not my will, your will be done." And then we'll have our Good Friday where we face death. But because of Jesus, we have our faith that we'll have our Sunday, our resurrection. When the Apostle Paul was writing to the Christians in Thessalonica, you know, they didn't have a Jewish belief in resurrection. They believed, the pagans did, that if you die, you went somewhere and hang out. And Paul wrote them saying, "I don't want you to mourn like your pagan buddies do, as people without hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, likewise, we believe that Jesus will bring with him all those who believe in Jesus." And he goes on to explain that when Jesus returns, you will hear a trumpet and a shout of the angel. Then the dead in Christ will rise first. So all these saints, your loved ones, who are buried in the cemetery here and other cemeteries. Veterans who are buried across the sand, maybe at the bottom of the ocean, they're in the Navy. All those saints will rise again, and they'll be the first in line to meet the Lord coming in the air. And then those of us who are still alive at that time, we'll be the second ones in line. And we're going to be the welcome committee, as we go out and welcome the one true King, the King of this planet, the Creator, Lord Jesus Christ. And He comes to reign forever and ever. And it's going to fulfill that prophecy that we've been praying for a long time. Your kingdom come, and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's what we're looking forward to. Now, other religions, they go to a tomb, put down flowers, and say their chants. We go outside, and we do have a sunrise service because our Savior is not buried somewhere in the tomb. He's alive. When Joseph of Arimathea graciously said, "Jesus is borrowed and be my tomb," Joseph, Jesus didn't need that tomb for all eternity. He's indeed borrowed it for the weekend. And on Sunday morning, He rose and lived again. And we, like Mary Magdalene, we can come to the garden alone and hear the voice of the risen Savior calling us by name. Thanks be to God. Amen. At this time, I invite you to open your